ready or not, whether you're ready or not, he already said the book's going to be open. And one of them books going to be the book of remembrance for all those people that say, well, I don't remember. He said, well, let me help you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God don't play. He don't play with his little creation because we think we can be high and mighty certain times. We can do what we want when we want because we can. God said, every knee going to bow to me. I don't care who you or what you think you are. And people play the game thinking this life, we can do whatever we want, whatever we want. God will forgive me. The Lord said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall y'all, I mean, man, humankind, whatever they sow, they going to reap. Now, if you don't reap it in this life we live in, and you have to reap it at judgment, I don't think people want that. What do you think, Pastor?
Oh, no. You know, listen, you're right. No, you don't want to reap that. But it's a good, that's the one of the good blessings we have of being saved and becoming new creations in Christ. All things become new.
Yes.
We become justified. And you remember the old, how they taught us when we were kids. Justified means just as if you've never sinned. We got a clean slate. We got a clean slate. And this is what, I don't want to say, go into that, but that's why it kind of bothers me when I hear people saying, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I don't like that. I've grown to the point I don't like it because I'm not just that anymore. I was a sinner, but because I'm saved by his grace, I'm no longer that person. I've been given a clean slate. So why do you keep saying, why do you keep calling yourself a sinner when the Lord is calling us saint? Why do you keep doing that? I was, see, when you say a sinner, that means it's ongoing. We were sinners when we were following just the law. The law it was our taskmaster, but we're no longer doing that.
Right.
You know, we've been justified. Okay? We've been sanctified. And we're looking forward to being glorified. It's on and it's
Yes.
But we have been justified. The Lord made us new creations in him. We don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. We don't have to be. So therefore, I am not that. I am not a sinner. Does that mean I'm sinless? No. Does it mean that I never sin? No, but I am not a sinner. Sinner means that, see, there's a difference between somebody that kills somebody and a murderer. There's
okay.
a difference.
Right.
There's a difference. There's a difference between you being in the service, being at war. And yes, there's people you've killed, but that does not make you a killer. Doesn't make you a murderer. You say, what's the difference? The difference is that is, see, and this is where it gets deep, but I don't want to get too deep with it. Only the Lord can understand. Oh, let me back that up. Only the Lord understands the hearts and minds of men.
Yes,
it is not in your heart. It is not in your desire to get out here and kill anybody. But one, you're in the service. Two, you're under order. Okay? And three, you're told, ordered to secure this area, secure these people, protect these people, what have you. That's it. Now, people say, well, you're splitting hairs. No, I'm not splitting a hair at all. I do not know the heart and minds of men. I don't. I don't know if that person who is not really this. They say to everybody, he's a Christian or she's a Christian. But how come you don't ever see them on their job or in the neighborhood testifying or preaching or witnessing and all that? That's not my place. That person may not, for whatever reasons, may not be strong and enough in their faith to do those type of things. Maybe that same person ain't saved, but maybe they're introverted. I don't know. I don't know any of that. The Lord does. The Lord does. I don't know what they do. That doesn't mean they don't pray for the community and all that, but just because I don't see it, don't mean that's not, I see you, Deacon Moses. Don't mean that, you know, that's not what they do. I'm going to say this here now. I'm going to be I'll give way to you. Well, don't lose your thought. When I used to go out and play checkers with the guys up there on 22nd Street, I'd get up doing, I'd get there in the afternoon, and I usually grab my, give me something. Well, I always did. I'd grab me something to eat, and I'd bring it out there, and I'm sitting there waiting for my turn to play. And a guy said to me, every time I see you, you eat. And I said, okay, you're probably right. And I said, oh, let me ask you a question. When do you see me? When you come out here? I said, oh, so you don't really know, you don't know that this is the first time I've eaten today. How many times have you? Well, I had breakfast. I did. I said, yeah, well, this is my breakfast. Then when you see me, that's what I do. I grab my glove and I come over here and sit down and he said, oh, that makes sense. I said, okay. We don't know a person. Digamo, go ahead.
Well, I hear what you're saying about different people and their own emotionalisms, but I don't fall on that, Pastor. I ain't never fell on that because
What do you mean? I don't understand what you said.
people I'm shy. I don't like talking in front of people. No. You don't have to be the one that go on the front stage. I agree wholeheartedly with that. But when it comes to the Lord and you don't want to speak about the Lord, the Bible clearly tell you, if you're afraid to talk about me before a man who you see, I'm not gonna talk to you about my father who I see.
Nigga, okay, I hear you. Nigga
Now,
Smith.
I agree with you talking about the front stage and all that, and in front of 100 people or 50 people. Yes, I can understand that. But if you're not promoting what you say you believe in for when you die, going to glory, then what good are you saying you say you believe in something for?
Hey, well, Digga Smith, you had your hand up. What do you want to
Well,
comment on
see,
that?
I tell you, what I do, because I think it's multi levels to that. The one level, if a person is comfortable to speak, but at the end of the day, like, you speak louder what you don't say. So you got a lot of people that say a bunch of nothing, but they always talking. You got a lot of people with the big time testimony, but their actions are different behind certain scenes. So yeah, you can pass out a million tracks and you got the best everything you're saying, but at the end of the day, like, and I do agree with Pastor Cotton with this. I don't know your true heart. So the people out here with the big mouths and they giving their testimony and things of that nature, I don't know the true, your true person behind that. So I'm not gonna sit up here and say, if a person, hey, shame on you for not witnessing the way I think you should be witnessing. Because I feel as though you should be saying more for God. I think the way you live is anything. That's going to speak the more volumes, and yeah, and then I think it's growth. You weren't at this level where you are now. Maybe 10 years ago, you wasn't there. But now that you're there, I mean, I remember. I mean, I can't say I remember a time, but to be able to pray and outside, that may take a lot of heart for some people, and they might just they may not say nothing, but just holding hands. And the group is big for them because they wouldn't do it in public. And then the next time they say amen loud. You never know. They may agree and ad lib a little bit in the prayer. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That may be the next movement. But then over time they're going to grow. So I hear what you're saying. Some people don't like the spotlight, and I know for you because you don't mind speaking. You don't mind being bold for the Lord. Everybody not where you are right now.
Well, I'm not saying that.
Okay, can I
I
say
we
something,
saying the
Pastor?
same thing. Go ahead.
Wait a minute, Mo. Peaches was up.
Along with what Deacon Mo said and Deacon Levine, I hear you on both, and that's what Levine just said. The last words is what I was just going to speak about. As Christians and true believers of God, we're supposed to have that holy boldness for Him, and in increments. It like on back to what Deacon Ron was saying. That's four people, little steps, and along on top of all of that, to be 50, 60, 70 years old, but going back only if you was in church for all of your life, not just joining a church at 40, 50 years old, that you should be doing baby steps. No, we should be at a grown level of speaking for our Heavenly Father. Speaking about him to or handing out tracts or talking, praying, whatever it calls for.
And I feel like, speaking like that for myself is why I'm elaborating on that.
Okay. All right. Think about it. Yeah.
No, digging around in myself said he said basically the same thing I was saying. The only thing I would say different. I'm not with the go along, get along part of everything is a process. I'm not with that because we all understand it takes time for everybody. But using those words, I shy away from that because so many people use it as a crutch. That's why I shy away from those words because this is my crutch. Everything is a process. Then you got to leave it alone because it's a process. Even though he knew it 5 years ago, 10 years ago, because he'd been saying it for 20 years, it's a process. I'm saying I'm calling like it is. I call it like it is. You've never heard me say it's a process. None of y'all. You never heard me say it's a process. I
What is the
agree with
process?
you.
I'm trying to understand what you say. What
People
is it?
use that wording as a crutch. That's basically what I'm saying.
Oh, you talk about this a process to get to the point where
No, no,
you
no.
can be public and
No,
what
no,
you're.
no, no. Whenever they talk Christianity, oh, this is a process. It's a process of spiritual maturity. It's a process of being bold for the Lord. It's a process. Yeah, I say, oh.
You don't think it is a process?
To me, most time, all times, really, when people say that in defense of whatever you was talking about with whoever you was talking to, it's a crutch.
Now, wait a minute. To make that kind of judgment call, listen, I always think, well, first off, I believe we all need to think back to when we were saved
I was thinking that. Yes,
when we
sir.
were young.
Yes.
And you ask yourself a question like I have to ask myself, am I, and I think Deacon Smith elaborated, maybe Peaches did as well. Do you think that you're at the same place in your Christian maturity now that you were 20, 30 years ago?
No.
No.
No, it's growth. It's a process and
it's a
growth.
rhetorical question. I don't require an answer. I don't require an answer, but what I'm saying is this. I know that I'm not. I mean,
Let me answer it this way. When you say spiritual maturity, like Deacon Ron just said, everything got different levels. You got different levels in your prayer life. You got different levels in your evangelism life. You got different levels in your in-church speaking life. You got different levels in your study habits. So I can't just say no and be correct in all the different levels. No, I can't.
no, I did. Well, worse, first of all, I didn't say in your spiritual level, I said in your Christian maturity is a difference. Now, I'm not trying to split hairs, but see, and you're answering it, and probably in what you're saying, that incorporates many parts of us.
Exactly.
I can say right now, most I've been preaching for over 45 years, but I still have a degree of anxiety when I stand up to preach. I'm not all that comfortable. Like, okay, I'm getting ready to do something I've done 100, 1,000 times. No. Because I'm very, I hope I never lose that part. Where I
Right.
want to be very careful of
Yes.
what I say,
Yes.
because I understand it could be the gravity of what I'm saying and who I'm saying it to.
Okay.
And now with that, and I praise God, I like to believe that that's a level, not a level, a degree of humility there, and I don't ever want to lose that, because to lose that would, I think that would make me a little arrogant, and I don't want to be
Yeah.
that way, But I'm saying all that to say this is that yes, it is a process apart, but that don't mean your whole thing that you're doing. I see you, Deacon Smith. I'll get to you. It doesn't mean, oh, I think he has to go. It doesn't mean all of you are such a way. I don't know how to make it clear, but what I'm saying is that there's some things that I feel very comfortable doing now that I didn't feel 20, 30 years ago. But there's some things I was doing 20, 30 years ago that I'm not doing now. If you try to weigh it all out. So I don't know. Yeah, there are some people who've been in church for 40, 50 years and still have anxieties or whatever you want to call them when it comes to praying in public. I'm not saying you should be at a way on paper, I would guess you should be, but some people aren't there. And what you gonna do? What you gonna do? You know, so that's not something for us to judge. They are what they are. They grow as they grow. You know, and that's all we can say. Nick Smith, go ahead.
Okay, I'm actually gonna bring back to the scripture that we just were studying because I didn't get a chance, but it was amazing that you and Deacon Cotton had brought it out. What I was gonna bring out actually was, okay, when Simeon says, "Behold, your servant, you can dismiss your servant in peace from my salvation." Now he had an opportunity to see. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, yes, we hear you.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah,
But he had an opportunity to see Jesus, right? And I started thinking that, okay, and I'm kind of glad that the conversation took this turn. Now, think about this. If he can see the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one that was coming here, right? Now, if he was able to see that, now, what do people need to see from us? They don't get to see the physical Yeshua as Simeon did, but how do they see Christ now?
Well, you know, you're raising the question, and I'm glad you did that because that's part of what we want to talk, what I wanted to get to. See, think about what was going on. Oh, go ahead, Dick. I'm sorry. Go ahead, finish your thought.
No, I'm sorry. That was a rhetorical question I was asking
Oh, okay.
everybody. But the
Okay.
thing is, we are to be
Yes.
the next level of the, so but watch it. He said, "My eyes have seen your salvation," meaning that now watch it. If I say this, you might sound a little weird to some, but it's like we are to be the salvation for people to an extent. We're not the people that's been the saving them. What I'm saying is,
I understand. I think I understand what you
yeah,
mean
he's
by
the
that.
shining light they see. Yes.
Don't keep ringing, man. Like, and I'm sorry. Like, I'm on. I'm sorry about that. But what
No,
I'm
no, no,
saying
no,
is,
no.
we are to be the Christ that they see.
Yes.
So just like when Thomas says, "Hey, man, watch this real quick.
Yeah,
Last
yeah,
thing."
yeah, 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 yeah.
Like doubting doesn't. And this is, man. Come on, she got the fine car.
What are you doing?
That's what we need to understand. Thomas doubted, and what did he say? "Hey, stick your fingers here. Stick your hand here." It didn't disqualify him. But what happens is, but what it was some people need the sign, and then some people will take it off of the way that you live in.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
You're right there. Well, look at what Jesus said to him. He said, what did he say? He didn't get on Thomas for that. He said, blessed are you who have
Blessed.
seen and
Yes,
believed.
sir. Yes,
You're
sir.
still blessed. You're blessed. You've seen and you believe. There are many people, I mean, the ones who don't see and believe, yes, you might want to give them a little bit more prop. But no, ain't nothing wrong with that. With all the false teachers and prophets, and so-called prophets and everything out here, yes, I want me some proof. Thomas wasn't, the Lord recognized that he wasn't wrong in what he was saying.
40.
No, he wasn't wrong. No, but and then going right back to what did Jesus say to us? He said, "Well, I'm in the Word, I'm the light." But guess what he said when he left? You are the light of the world. So right there in line with what you're saying, Deacon Smith. Yes, we are supposed to be the light. People are supposed to be able to look at us and see Jesus, see him through us.
Yes, sir.
That's what they're supposed to be
Amen.
able to do.
Amen. Can y'all hear me?
Yes. Yeah, that's what they're supposed to be able to do. You're right on with that, with the word. They're supposed to be able to look at us, even if they don't know what it is. That's why the Lord said, well, we are what? A peculiar people. He said,
Yes,
I
sir.
don't understand. How can they be so happy?
Amen.
They living the way they live. I know they don't have a lot of money. I know they don't have the fine clothes and the auto and all this stuff. But yet they seem so happy. There's something peculiar about them people. When you see them, they look like they're really glad to see each other. And all that. And that's why, when you look in there in the book of Acts, that's what, I'm not saying that's the only reason why, but that's why so many people were drawn to become part of this because they saw how they were treating each other. What do they see today? What do they see today?
Mercy,
How are we living
mercy.
today? And look at Simeon. Look at what was going on in Israel at this time when Simeon was going on, how the people had all but turned their back on the Lord, living any way they wanted to live, living, you know, Simeon had the testimony of living righteously and just. Now, some people may look at this and say, hey, this could be the Lord's reward. When he said to him, you're not going to see death, Simeon, until you see the Messiah himself. You know, yes, you know, because Simeon was very staunch. He believed God. He believed in God. He was in his heart felt for Israel and the people. The Lord saw that in him. He saw that in Simeon. So yes, he had a heart for the people and a heart for the land. And what did it say? The Holy Spirit was on him.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit was on him.
Yes.
And revealed. Mm-hmm. And look what he said. And revealed him. Now, I didn't just tell him. He revealed it to Simeon. Not to everybody else. Simeon didn't go around with the attitude, hey, I can do what I want. I can say what I want, but I ain't gonna die. I got time. I ain't gonna die until the Messiah comes, until I get to see it. That was not his attitude.
Right.
And that's why the Holy Spirit didn't just grant that to him. He said he revealed it to him. Think about the words that he used. He revealed that to him. That was already in the Lord's making, in the plan for Simeon. He just revealed it to Simeon. It was already in his plan. He just let him know. That was the difference between him and one of the differences between him and Hezekiah. You know, the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. We always talk about, I remember early in my ministry, I remember when I first, the Lord let me first preach about Hezekiah. And I make the statement and said that Hezekiah was the only one who knew he had so many more years left, but I was wrong. And y'all may not remember, I don't even know if y'all was a boy yet or whatever. No, Moses was, but when I said, no. That because he got those 15 as me, he knew he had 15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're reading it and understanding. But anyway, that's a whole different lesson. But, Simeon, like I said, he was a righteous and devout man. King James said he was righteous and devout.
Just and devout.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And he was waiting. Look what it's telling. He's praying for the people. And waiting for the Messiah to come and restore the people of Israel. That's what he was doing. He wasn't just shaking his head, oh, it's gone. The people going to see. His heart was for the people. And then the Holy Ghost came on him and revealed what he did to him. You know, because of how he was living.
Hey.
Yeah, you know, because of how he was living. So we look at this today and look around and see what's going on around us. People seem to be living so lasciviously and all kind of craziness going on, but that does not keep us from living the way the Lord wants us to live. That's one lesson we can get from Simeon. In the midst of everything that's going on, the craziness that's going on around us, we can still live righteously and devout in the midst of it. We can still live that way. Instead of looking at folks going to see and we praying about them, how often are we praying
mm-hmm.
for them?
Mm-hmm.
How often are we praying for them?
Mm-hmm.
These people going around so confused. Now society is embracing their transgender. I don't know what, you know, all this stuff.
Oh, mercy, mercy.
People are embracing, so you start to feel comfortable that way. Are we praying for these people? They're being deceived by the boatload. They're thinking that this is okay. Are we still, do you think that should make us stop doing what the Lord has commissioned and commanded us, or should it make us more diligent? What do you think? You know, these people going around, should we say, oh, it's just so many, it's going to be a great falling away, so ain't nothing I can do about it. No. If that was the case, he wouldn't have us out here. He wouldn't tell us to go out and keep teaching. Everybody ain't going to see. But there's a great many that will. But we need to be out there on the battlefield, in the war zone. And the Lord knew that. That's why he gave us everything we need to go out there. He said, I know I'm sending you out there like lambs among wolves. I know that. That's one thing for you to be out there today. Secondly, you have to live every day. Okay? But I want you to live righteously and devoutly. So let me make sure you can do that. Let me make sure I give you armor to protect yourself. Let me make sure that I let you exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. And to make sure you have it,
And run.
let me
I have to
dwell in
run to the drum, see if they got any foot powder in here.
you. Yeah, let me
Like
dwell in
stuff.
you to make sure you have it. And not only am I going to have my Spirit dwell in you, I am never going to leave. Now, what more can we ask for? I'm not going to put a spirit of fear in you. Why are you worried about what's going on out here? Didn't I tell you it will not draw near you? I got you. Now, the Lord, he's eliminated the fear from us. He's given us what we need to protect ourselves spiritually. And anything that we lack, he said, whatever it is you need, ask me. I'll give it to you. What more can we ask for, y'all? What more can we ask for? The Lord has given us a directive, given us command, okay, and given us everything we need to fulfill this command. What more do we want? And meanwhile, while you're fulfilling it, with everything that's going to be going on around about you, with everybody that may even think about coming to attack you, I will build defense around you. I will keep you in the hollow of my hand. And yes, remember, you're not stuck in any of this stuff. What did I tell you? As you go through the valley, as you go through the fire, as you go through the water, you're not drowning. You're not sitting there burning. You're going through this. Somebody said, when I come through this, I'll be just like what? Pure gold?
Go.
Go through it. You're going through. We are going through. We wonder how come, Lord, I got to go through this. I got to go. And then we hear ourselves. Next time you start feeling that way, say these things aloud, like the Lord is right there in front of you. And you hear yourself saying, why am I going through this? Why am I going through? And you keep saying, and then it's going to register, oh, wait a minute, I'm going through it. Now, it must be a lot to that saying, who that say when you find yourself going through hell, keep going. Just keep going, praying that you'll get to the end of this foolish, and that's what we need to remind ourselves. So yes, I could just imagine with all this going on, seeing his heart is still not just hearing what the folks are complaining and watching what they're doing, and he's crying to the Lord, but he's praying to the Lord with a heartfelt prayer. And look at how the Lord blessed him. Any comments? Any more comments, questions, or whatever? What do y'all think? Any y'all think it's some good meat in this passage of scripture or what?
Yeah. This message is for us right now. But we have to do our part. We have to live righteous and honor God and do His will. And we got to be able to follow the Lord. He has taken care of us thus far, and He will definitely continue to take care of us. And He's keeping His promise to us.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is in your 100%. I think we need to remind ourselves, and we need to remind each other. Don't you know? Yes, we're not each other's judge, but we can hold each other accountable, and we should. You see me going too off the deep end. You need to be pulling me aside, not just ready to give me the life preserver, but keep me from going over. Don't just wait till I go over to try to save me when I done fell into the drink. Try to
Oh
keep me
my.
from falling over into it.
Yes. Exactly.
You see me,
Right.
like I got this from many years ago. It's good when you see these people, these 600-pound people, you see them, their family there to help them and support them. That's good. But somebody might say, but didn't you recognize them in trouble when they were 400 pounds? Where were you? human
All right
nature at that
now.
point. Don't wait until they get to the point they can't do nothing for themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad you're here now, but you saw them in trouble when they, you can't be no 5 feet tall, 600 pounds. That ain't right. That ain't right. Help me now. I'm
No,
looking.
it's not.
No, help me. I need help. Yeah. But this, I think there's, yeah, there was pretty good meat in this. Plenty good.
Yeah.
Plenty good.
But you know what, Pat?
Yeah, go ahead.
Along with what you just said about helping others, it referred me back to Dad, because Dad had an example. I don't, well, we knew he went to therapy, but I can tell you exactly. He went to therapy to do whatever exercise they had him do at his capacity till he was 65. I don't know if y'all remember or know that. And that in itself is an example to us, because he told all of us. He said, the diabetes running, the sugar duck running on both sides of the family, be careful what you eat, blah, 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 since he was a kid. But he always said, be in some kind of shape, because you never know when you might have to save your life or somebody else's. Do you remember?
I don't remember that conversation, but
Oh,
I remember
I remember it. I took him to that point. I did that, right?
I remember other stuff, but
Well, I remember.
Yeah.
He said, always
Good.
be in some kind of shape. He said, why do you think I be sweating all the time working? Because when you sweat, you get all the impurities out of you. Well, we had a lot of conversations. Maybe y'all didn't know. I don't know.
Yeah, we had different ones, yeah.
Yeah.
But coming back to where we are here, when we look at this text, how we look at, we observe certain things, like especially when we look at Simeon. There's not a whole lot about Simeon, about his history, his family, and all this stuff. But what we do have and what we do see in him is some good stuff. We know that his name means he who hears and acts, and hears and
Okay.
obeys, and hearing. These are things that we recognize in him. We see where his, again, he had a heart for the people, for the land, and he believed God. He was really, really not just twiddling his thumbs, but he was earnestly, sincerely looking for the Messiah to come so he could restore the people back. And I don't know, like I said, we can look at it and say, well, the Lord saw his heart was like that. He was living, again, that testimony of being able to live righteously, justly, devoutly, that says a whole lot. That says a whole lot about him. And then to the point where the Holy Spirit would come upon him and reveal to him, no, don't, you're not going to know. Can you imagine, say, you're not going to die until the rapture happens. Now, see, some people will look at this here and say, well, how do you know people weren't thinking, well, wait a minute. If he's not going to die until the Messiah comes, he can't be no thousands of years away because he ain't going to live no thousand years. Now, some people might get that thought. That's part of the reason why it's the scripture say he revealed it to him. This was not something that he went telling everybody. Can you imagine the minds of some people? Oh, Simeon might be on his way out now. I don't know. But he ain't going to go out until the Messiah. You see the Messiah? Yeah, I mean, he must be coming soon. So we better get, let me get myself. I mean, all kinds of stuff people will take that, Right now, you got people that are doing certain things because they, some will say, well, yeah, the Lord's going to come any minute. But some are also taking it the other way. Oh, they've been saying this for a thousand years. The Lord's coming. And they just brush it on off. Again, we don't know the hearts and minds of folks. We don't. The Lord does. The righteous just does. He says, put it out there. You preach, you teach, you testify of it, you bear witness of it. I will yield the increase. Pettigrew. You all got all kinds of stuff growing in the church. And we all do know that wheat and tares is happening in the church. We do know that, right?
Mercy, mercy,
You know that. That's in the church. He's talking about what's going on in the church.
mercy,
Pettigrew. Don't you
mercy.
try to pluck this one out and weed that one out. You do that day, you're going to destroy yourself. Let it go. I got it.
Gordon.
You just preach what I tell you to preach. Teach what I tell you to teach. I will yield the increase. That's my job. Don't be trying to do my job. I didn't ask you to go out there and teach them, lead them to me, guide them, take them by the hand, stay with them 24. Say, you can't do that. But I can. But I can. Do your job. I got this. I think, yes, it's a whole lot of little story, little things we pick up in this passage. Great testimony that Simeon had. How we see how the Holy Spirit was dealing with him even then. And then I do think it's in order for us even to share that elation, that joy with Simeon, that not only have it revealed them that you will not die until you see the Messiah, but just to imagine how he felt to not just see the Messiah, but to hold him in his. I can't get past that, y'all. I can't get past that. To be able to hold him in his arm. This ain't no just no cute little, baby. This is the Messiah he's holding. No, y'all can't get happy with that. I'm gonna leave that alone. Y'all can't get happy about that.
Coop it.
My. That's oh. It's almost the same feeling. Those of us, wait a minute. That's almost everybody here except LeRon. Those of us who are grandparents. You can remember with your own child. When you see your child there, you holding your child for the first time. It's a feeling that it's a feeling you oh my goodness. Just take that and multiply it by I don't know how much. And somebody told, how do you think you feel right now? You remember you was in the hospital when your child was born, or yeah. And that other parent that you hold their baby, you didn't know that baby was Martin Luther King, did you? What?
We would be excited.
You didn't know that was Obama you was holding then. What? Feel just as happy to say, you didn't know that was Trump you was holding. Oh,
There.
that
But admit Jesus. Amen.
But that's all right. Any questions, comments?
No, I like what you said about the holding the first baby and all and the grandbaby. I can share a quick good story. Lonnie called us up. Well, Momar, everybody know when she was little, all she used to say all day long was dad. But Lonnie texted us and told us that little Nora, her new baby that's almost just 2 years old, she woke up and said, I want to talk to Pop Pop. Now, mind you, we talked on the FaceTime. I've never held her nor seen. Well, we see each other on the face. I've never been face to face with her yet. But she's fun. They from funny children. So I want to talk to Pop. He's waking up. I
Oh,
want
that's nice.
to talk to Pop. Well, they bring you much. They bring you much joy.
Yes. Oh, yes. Well. If there's no more questions, comments, somebody want to pray us out?
Okay, I'll pray this out if it's okay.
Yeah.
Almost Holy Eternal Father, we thank you for another night of enlightenment, another night of understanding, another night of being able to dissect your word to a point where we can interpret it, apply it, and live it to be a better, put a better, bigger smile on your face, we hope, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for even coming together in agreement. Just because things don't go one person way, you cut off and leave the place. Nah. You got to endure it and understand and come to understand. We thank you. We ask that you please go with those that have attended and didn't show up, whatever the case may be. Just go with them also. And we ask a special blessing on those in California that's having this fire. We ask that you would go with them, Lord, especially those of the household of faith. We had a man say that he prayed for his house right there on national TV. Rare to see a person speak of you in such a bold manner. That's why when we talk in the Bible study about being bold for the Lord, how it's saying Proverbs, be bold for the Lord. Be bold. I don't care if you're shy. I don't care if you're introvert, retrovert, ambivert. I don't care. Be bold for me, he said. Speak of me so I can speak of you to my Father in heaven. You down there on earth. I'm way up here in heaven. How far am I from you? You can't measure it. Whoa. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that we can come to an understanding and to an agreement. We thank you. We ask that you bless each and every one of us. Go with those that's on the sick beds and all of our households and all of our churches. Go with our youth. Go with the seniors. Bless them and keep them in the ark of safety. And we ask and pray that you go with all those on the sick beds of affliction. We know you can raise them up in an instant, but we ask that you go with them that can endure it. Whatever they got to go through, till you bring them through it. Whatever they got to go through, till they change come. We ask that you hold their hand and let them know you're still there. Send somebody to uplift them, comfort them, flop their pillow, give them a glass of cold water, whatever it is to make them more comfortable, if it's within thine will. We pray this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you for the
Amen.
prayer.
Amen. Amen. Thank you
Praying time.
everyone for showing up, coming up. And I think this is our first Bible study of the year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.